The next one is this. It is a wrong-headed thing. I heard you were speaking earlier about what is happening on Swan Street. I want to say here that it is wrong-headed thinking for anybody to believe that they can just violate the laws of the country and put this country in confusion and in disarray, making it look like a dump, if you want to put it that way, where people can go and set up anywhere, anyhow, before any regulation, before any directions, or before any legs. That cannot be right. Now, here it is. It is ridiculous and sad when the public can oppose when the government has to regulate these things, but it is even worse when parliamentarians could object to a government, whichever government that is, who would seek to bring about laws to bring order in this place. Now, you would remember, Mr. Ellis, when the former government brought about a law that when people are going to sell things wherever it is on the street, produce and so on, that they should get a license and keep their receipts when they buy things to sell, because we've had farmers in Barbados for far too long complaining about people thiefing their produce, selling it, and it is okay for them to do that. Now we have a situation here where we have a minister of government, even then when that law was introduced, they objected to it. I remember the very prime minister now saying that it was wrong for the then government to try to lock up poor people from supporting their families, young people. And now look what you have. A minister, I mean, Miss Ellis.
I don't think that that's what's being recommended there, being suggested.
But Miss Ellis, but could there? Let us,
you say you don't want criminalized people.
But
at the same time, there's still got to be a responsibility to operate within rules.
Miss Ellis, listen, let us be rational in our thinking about what we are saying to the public. If you are saying to them, we are not going to penalize you.
Criminalize. We didn't say penalize. You said criminalize.
But let me ask you, the government is not doing it to you. You're doing it to yourself because you know what you're doing is wrong. I heard Mr. Williams, I believe it was you he was talking to, Mr. Johnson, one day said that his son called him from the police station yard and said to him that the magistrate just put a CRD on a man where Mr. Williamson went and caught that man in a car road with one of his red portables on his truck. Mr. Ellis, tell me the gospel truth. How could any government minister say to people, you can go and sell things and you don't have your license? Because this is what they're saying. The government is not criminalizing about you. You are criminalizing yourself, Mr. Ellis, because you know it is wrong. And if you can do things, for God's sake, if you're trying to bring order and encourage people to sell produce after working so hard, and you would tell them you can go and set up anywhere and sell, how could you do something like this? And then when you get this kind of thing, where you talk on Swan Street, where people are behaving like this, good God, where are we? Besides, could this be right?
Well, first of all, I don't interpret the government's signal as one that says people can do as they like.
But what are you doing then?
That's not my interpretation of what is being said here. I think you're trying to strike a balance between following rules and at the same time creating an environment where people can still earn a living. And some measure of order needs to be brought to some of the activities that are taking place in this country. I mean, we have seen an explosion of certain types of vending and that sort of thing, which in some areas, not in all, create an environment that is not good enough. I've also spoken, for instance, in the past about the people who are mechanics who have these garages in people's neighborhoods and people can't, you can't bring people to your house properly. They can't find a place to park. I suspect that in some instances, it may even be reducing the value of these people's properties. Things like that, we need to bring some order to some of these things. While at the same time appreciating that you got to create an environment for people to be able to do their business. But in many instances, they don't care about who they offend. You like it or lump it.
So if people don't care, then what do you would you say the government should would have to do?
Bring because some order. And I'm going to tell you something, because you know full well that you are being highly critical of what this minister has said. But you must recognize that a lot of this has grown in the last 10 years or so, too.
Mr. Ellis, look at there. Don't say that. It's longer than that, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, it's longer. But I'm telling you that a lot of what this Swan Street thing, I've seen this mushroom in the last 10 years.
But, Mr. Ellis, do you remember when if it was okay with them, why would they have introduced a law to stop it? And not what you were getting, an unraveling of that law? Come on.
Sir, I have to correct you, yes. Sorry, I let David go ahead, but I have to correct you, yes, sir, because you've said it on more than one occasion. I just went and reread the article. What the minister was saying was that the charges should not be laid as criminal charges,
yeah,
so that the people will not be criminalized. Not that they not be charged, not the vending is not illegal, but that the charge should not be a criminally laid one to cause the people who contravene the act to be criminalized. I just want to make that point. Sorry about the interruption.
That's going to be interesting, though. How do you
David,
achieve that?
I have no idea. I just want
Look,
to say
an
that's
action
what was
in court is either civil or criminal. I mean,
I
don't
was
understand
a strange
that.
Comment, but that's what was said.
Michelle, now you see, now when you get ministers saying things, we have to be really serious.
I was there looking for the GIS release on it. I wanted to see the GIS release on it. Because I did see it a couple of days ago.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Look, we either have to be serious in this country about what we are doing and the directions that we are giving people the impression that they can go in, or we are not. It's either left or right. And if we go between, we are just creating more problems for ourselves. Because then do you understand that if you have a garden in your backyard to feed your farm or whatever, the Amar will come and he know that he's a thief. So they're not going to charge for a thief. So which means if you got money but don't you go and thief it then? They didn't charge for that? How could a minister or whoever come with this kind of talk? They believe they're talking to people who don't have anything in their head at all called bread? This is a joke. I'm saying to you, it is a joke. And I tell you this, I am certain that Amalek, Mr. Williams, and those persons, I heard the other day a man went on his farm and he found his cow slaughtered and the people left the head and guts there for him. I mean, Mr. Ellis, a minister could be serious about what he's saying. He's making sport at farmers and at you. I mean, he can't be serious. Cannot be. And I'm telling you this, and I am not a farmer, but I am highly annoyed about that attitude and about those statements. It is wrong.
Before you go on, let's do the specific point here. The GIS release says, the minister, who is also responsible for entrepreneurship and commerce, also spoke about the need to stop seeing vending, particularly wayside vending, as a crime. They, vendors, that is, play a very critical role, and if they break rules, we have to put certain things in place. I don't want to see any vendor going to prison as a result of breaking rules. We have to put measures and systems in place that we can treat with people who break rules, as opposed to making them criminals in this country, he pointed out. When you begin to make people criminals in this country, that is small businesses, they begin to retreat. And what happens is that the job of the Barbados Manufacturers Association becomes a more difficult job because people are not willing to come forward because they don't have the capital. So once we give you those trust loans and we decriminalize vending, I am one who believes that we are on the way to ensuring that small businesses are given the recognition and opportunity to grow and help build out the economy. Now that sounds really good. It's quite laudable. But my question is, how are you going to achieve it? Given the kind of attitude that some, not all vendors, but some of the vendors have out there, sense of lawlessness, sometimes recklessness, how are you going to achieve this in this climate of trying to decriminalize the bad behavior? It will call for a major outreach. I'm not saying it is impossible, but I know it is exceedingly difficult. And the minister, having made the point that he has, then must develop that further and tell us exactly what are the steps that you're going to take to achieve this laudable objective. But I don't want to interpret it in the way that you have. You want to encourage people to go and vandalize people's property or take away the fruits and vegetables and that sort of thing. That construction that you have put on this is, to my mind, a little unfortunate.
But you know what we're not saying? Where did the vendors get their produce? Now, you have not heard one word about the teeth in the product and they come and sell them. Not a word about the
vending, my friend, has to go beyond agricultural produce. I took this to mean vending across the board.
Yes, but the thing is that I'm not talking about people who are selling clothes that bring from America. I'm not talking about people should not be able to sell. That is not the issue. The issue was to prevent people from thiefing and then selling. But when you go and sell, he's a vendor. When he thief, you go and say, he's a vendor. But where's the evidence of your produce? This is what I'm dealing with.
So you're dealing specifically also with the other article, which deals with the protection of agriculture.
That's right.
Pardon?
This is the pertinent thing about what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that a person should not vend. I'm not talking about that. Because remember when the law was introduced, it was introduced to produce your vending license.
Has it worked, though? Before you go any further, we've put a lot of legislation on the statute books. But what we don't know is how this thing has worked.
But you see, the thing is this. If you remember this, if you have your vending license and you are seen on the street or wherever you are selling, then you produce your receipt as to where you bought the product from. This is how it is. To show that you are not only a vendor by showing your license, but you are a vendor by showing your receipt for your produce that you are now having in your tray or in your van or whatever. You're showing that. So the two are going to be combined in together.
Well, I want to say to you that the discussion for me has to center around the concern that many people in Barbados have had about predial larceny, the disincentive to farming that has created, the fact that the Barbados Labour Party has been opposed to this particular piece of legislation. That's one thing. But if it says that it wants to either amend the legislation or get rid of it or whatever, it must also tell us what steps it is going to take to give greater protection to the farmers who were rebelling against what was going on. I mean, it is not enough to come and say that you are opposed to something, but you then have to put in place some kind of replacement for it. So what is it that he is proposing to do? Because while it is important to avoid criminalizing people, it is also important to give some kind of encouragement to people who are farming out there and feel at a loss between, on the one hand, the thieves, and on the other, the monkeys. All right? Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, morning.
Good morning.
Is that Mr. Bailey?
11:45, yes.
Yeah, morning. I just want to, I just called to mention that I have a problem. I'm a pensioner living on my own, and I have an allergy to dust. And recently, mid-September last year, a group of rascals moved into an unfurnished property upstairs next to my home. And they're spreading dust, hot air, and cold water 24/7 into my house. I've reached out to all the authorities and asked for some help.
When you say all of the authorities, whom have you spoken to?
The authorities was the Member of Parliament, the Environmental Health. Right now I'm under my doctor's care. The police. The environmental people suggest that I should get my attorney to write a letter to the Commissioner of Police and ask him to get a senior officer to investigate my situation because I need some help very badly.
How long ago were you advised to do that?
This is about 5 weeks ago. My attorney, he did write to the brother of the owner of the property.
Yeah.
And asked him to board up the house properly. The house is a very big house. It's going to be a 2-4-bedroom apartment, one up and one down. So the guys are living upstairs. Personally, I don't think the brother, they can afford to board up all around the house because it's such a big property. But I had offered to help them board up the property, and he turned it down. So these guys are just spraying my house every day, 24 hours, as I said.
What do they spray it with?
Hot air, dust, hot air, and cold water. That's what I'm getting.
Even so now why would they be using, doing it like that? Why? Well, just to make you miserable, or this is part of their ritual?
One of the guys I know very well, and I took this guy to court reluctantly, and ever since he came out of Dodge, he's attacking my property. He even comes over the fencing.
Well, you know full well that this is a matter that you need to deal with urgently and go to the police with it.
I did go to the police, and they're saying that they cannot. The fact that they can't see these fellas, they can't do anything. But recently, I went back to the police, and they said they will look into it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is going on now, Mr. Ellis, over 10 months.
It's pretty long. It's serious, and. You know, I'm sure you sound like a more elderly person too, and you know, gross inconvenience in your own home.
I am.
Yes, that's not good enough, and I really wish that when these matters of this type are drawn to the attention of the authorities, that they would, you know, do their best to see if they can get to the bottom of them, because you know, to have an elderly Barbadian inconvenience in this way, if this is indeed happening. It really needs to be addressed. There's little that we can do, because clearly this matter is one that you have to pursue. Okay? Thank you very much for calling. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm just quiet and cool. I guess called, well, anyway, it's short, no, so I get straight to my point, but I didn't want to say something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I got that gentleman that identified himself as Mr. Astor Watts for the DRB.
Yes.
And he was claiming that the police should allow the names of the people that I got hold of this boat issue.
Yes.
Okay. But not long ago, I heard the breaking news that you hear the news now.
Yes.
My problem now that I asked, and he tried to discredit the lady, Ms. Bachor, from the nation, because she ain't been too right to get this news or not. Okay?
Yeah. I didn't hear the exchange, but if that's what happened yesterday, what you want to happen today?
Well, what you can do today, though, is calling and tell the people from his party, who is the people that signed this contract, that gave me this contract, that from papers or sandy paper. Because he should know, because he's a member of the Democratic Labour Party. So he should know now who these people that gave these contracts is. So he could get them in there, now he got the nearest he want. That's all they got to say.
You know, as you say, taking time in laziness. And sometimes you got to be very careful with these things that you don't, there's no rush to judgment. I think that in all the circumstances, many Barbadians would prefer the kind of outcome that has just been put before us and for the court itself to determine what happens. We can't really get too involved in this matter beyond the fact that the figures that have been given, certainly there's great disparity between what was reported about a $3 million bust and the police saying the drugs were worth $500,000, just over that. So, but there's a lot of politics in this too, huh? Don't fool yourself. The very fact that somebody like Mr. Watts would be calling would reinforce the point that I'm making, that there's a lot of politics in it. If the wrong decision was made, there would have been more politics in it. So I suspect that from what I've been hearing out there, that more people would be comfortable with the way that the police have handled this matter right now than if they had done something other than this. All right. Thank you very much.